Hey there, I'm Beverly Sartain, and this is the Holistic Coach Legacy Podcast, where you get support in being an impactful and confident coach. In today's episode, we get to chat with the lovely Holly McHugh and talk to her about sales, messaging, and niche. And I know that this is always a really important topic for new and aspiring coaches. So I hope that you get a lot of value from listening to our discussion today. Please check out the show notes to see how you can get in contact with Holly. Thank you so much for being here. All right, Holly, welcome. It's great to be here with you.
Hey, Bev. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I know. It's so good to have you here. Just for anybody listening, Holly and I have been connected for many years now, and it brings me so much joy, Holly, to be on Facebook and just to see your pictures come through, to see your wins come through, to see your testimonials come through. Like, I just love it, you know, because we were in a mastermind together for a couple years. We did a couple of rounds of the mastermind together. It was probably like, I don't even know, 4 or 5 years ago now.
I was thinking this morning, I think it was 2016, 2017. So yeah.
It was a while ago. Right. So it's just nice to see the people that have been in your circle do well. And that's something that always comes up for me when I see you come across my feed and we interact, is it's just nice to see you doing great work and being successful. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you so much. The same for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it so much too. So we wanted to have you on today to talk about niche, messaging, sales, like all of these areas that you are very, very good at. And just so you know, the listeners really like to hear a bit of the backstory of how you got into coaching, started your coaching biz. So what would you like to share?
Sure. Yeah. So I think as with everyone who comes into coaching, there's always a bit of a journey and a bit of a pivotal moment in time that draws us towards this amazing line of work. And for me, it was during my quarter life crisis when I was working in, you know, this quote unquote dream job that I'd worked so hard to get. So my background is as a brand strategist. I worked in marketing for Fortune 500 companies like Procter & Gamble and Unilever for almost a decade. So these are companies who make brands like Ben & Jerry's ice cream, Lipton tea, Tresemme shampoo, Dove skincare, Gillette, you know, big brands that everyone's probably very familiar with. And I was working, you know, really on every aspect of bringing products to market, launching media campaigns, the strategy, the consumer insights. So that was like my world. And so kind of on paper, I suppose I was like, yeah, I'm successful. But then I had this moment in time where I was like, what am I even doing? Like, what does success actually mean to me? Because I was feeling really pressured just by the fast pace and very demanding environment of that world and the comparison traps we often fall into, you know, the sense of feeling like a bit of a fraud in some ways, like I'm going to get found out, that they realize I don't really know what I'm doing, you know, all of those, I guess, rites of passage in many ways when we're early on in our careers. And so I had this period of time where I just kind of kept pushing, even though I knew I was feeling really burnt out. And eventually I got really sick. And it was at that moment that it was kind of like the universe, you know, slapping me in the face and saying, hey, wake up. What are you doing? And it was then that for the very first time in my life, I really intentionally explored personal development. And I will never forget the moment walking into a bookshop and I was just like, I need something to read that's going to help me and I don't know what it is. And I went to the kind of self-help section for the first time ever. And the book that literally jumped off the bookshelf at me was Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jaffers, which if you haven't read, you absolutely should. And that was just like, yes, I need to feel the fear and do it anyway, because I was just scared so often, like scared of failure, probably scared of success, scared of getting things wrong, scared of making the wrong decision. And really what it came down to was I'd never asked myself, what does success personally mean to me? And I wasn't really trusting myself to make the right decisions for me. You know, it was very much getting caught up in, well, what did the company think? What did my boss think? What did others think? What did the media say? What did society say? Blah, 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 blah. So that was the moment that I entered into this amazing life-transforming world of personal development that led me to NLP and becoming certified in NLP and then into coaching. And so I got qualified as a coach in 2013, and I just finally had this amazing skill set where I wanted to share with others what I had learned that had made all the difference to me. So that is kind of the long and short story of how I came into coaching in the first place.
That's wonderful. You know, I was trying to think back to what your niche was when we started to do the mastermind. And the reason I'm bringing this forward is because I think it would be helpful for people to hear even your process of the reiterations of your own niche and what that looked like for you. So where did you start when you started your coaching business?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question, Bev, because it's a really important point to recognize that your niche can and most likely will evolve over time. So it's really important to start where you're at and where you're feeling called to focus now, but also what makes sense in terms of what you know, what comes easily, what comes effortlessly, what comes naturally, right? So I started as a career coach for women professionals because that's what I was and that's what I knew. And that's where I'd had my struggle as well as my epiphanies and breakthroughs. And I think in that moment when I was burnt out and exhausted and overwhelmed and wondering, what am I doing and what's truly meant for me in that sense of, I know I'm meant for more and this isn't quite it, but I don't know what to do about that. It was only when I kind of got my, you know, head out of the sand and got a new perspective thanks to the coaching tools that I learned that I realized how many other women were struggling right next to me. And I hadn't even noticed before. You always feel like you're the only one, right? You're the only one who hasn't figured it out. You're the only one who feels isolated in that, you know, sense of frustration and kind of feeling stuck. But actually I recognized there were so many other women professionals, even in just my own company, who were struggling too. And so I started off as a career coach for professional women who really wanted to find a more purposeful path and to really connect to their own version of success, because guess what? It means something different to all of us, and there's no one way to be successful. And the frustration and the burnout and the overwhelm comes from force-fitting ourselves into boxes kind of dictated by other people, right? So I was supporting women to really kind of find a new direction and to feel like they were having a meaningful path forwards, even within the corporate world. So that's where I started. Do you want me to share how that evolved?
Mm-hmm. I would love that. You got it.
So, over time, basically what happened was I was working. So I moved from London to Sydney because I met my Australian husband, in a dodgy bowling alley in London, as you do. I thought I was going to like meet a Frenchman and live in the south of France with bilingual children because I spent my whole education learning French. I did French at uni. I did my master's in Paris. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be in the south of France with bilingual children, you know, eating cheese. No. I meet an Aussie farmer. And as they say, the rest is history. So here I am in Australia. I'm originally English. And so I moved from London to Sydney in 2013 and knew no one, had no networks, no clue, this shiny new coaching qualification in my hand, so motivated and passionate about changing the world, and no one cared. Like no one cared, right? I was trying to get a job in like learning and development, and they were like, oh, but your resume says marketing, so go get a job in marketing, you know? And it was just like bang head against brick wall. Anyway, so I decided, well, the only option I have is to start my own business. So I never even intended really to start my own business, but that became the only way that I could do coaching work. So I negotiated a part-time senior marketing role, which was amazing in itself. I had 4 days in my corporate role, 1 day in my business. And then as my business grew, I negotiated a job share. It was the first of its kind in my company for reasons other than having children. And I was working 3 days in this marketing role, 2 days on my business. And at that moment, I was kind of straddling these two worlds. So I had my side hustle. I had my corporate role. It was quite amazing. I was literally having my career cake and eating it too. And that's what I used in my messaging a lot of the time. And so I had all these people come to me saying, well, I want to do that. Like, how do I get a side hustle and blah, 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 blah. So then I had this weird interim phase of being a career and business coach, which really just didn't make a lot of sense. And I was trying to support both professional people as well as people with this entrepreneurial craving. And that was probably the messiest time of my business in terms of a niche and a clear focus, because I didn't really know who I was speaking to at any one moment. And then eventually I was able to give full focus just to my business. I had my daughter in 2018. I left the corporate world. I didn't go back. And so today I have my, you know, I 3 days per week business. I've only ever been part-time in it. And today I'm a sales and messaging coach. But it has gone through those evolutions and iterations because that's what my business was going through, right? I was evolving myself. I was learning, who am I as an entrepreneur? What kind of business do I want to have? Who do I want to serve? Where am I at right now? Like, there's no way I would have started by calling myself a sales and messaging coach, because I needed to figure those things out myself in my own business as well before I could feel that I could credibly share that with others, right? So it was only end of 2019 that I laser focused my niche into what it is today. And that has been one of the single best decisions I ever made. And I have so much more clarity and focus today than I ever did have. And so that's kind of the story of my niche.
Yeah, I really enjoy hearing it, because it's great for people to hear the unfolding that happened for you to get to the clarity for yourself. And, you know, I appreciate you sharing that you started with what you knew. I can relate to that. That's very similar to what I did. And then just like your creativity and your adaptability. And like, I'm just hearing all these really great qualities that I think a business owner or an entrepreneur has, to finally land on the clear way of talking about what you really do for people. Anything else come up for you there?
Well, I just think exactly what you're saying, and you've been on a beautiful evolution yourself, Beverly, which has been amazing to witness as well. And as you say, you started where you were at with what you knew and your own experience and story, because that is the key to connecting with our audience, right? They want to know that you get it. They want to know that you understand their specific set of circumstances. And that is, you know, so much more meaningful when we are in that space ourselves, or have recently been in that space ourselves, right? We've walked that path, because no one can resonate or relate to someone who apparently has never got anything wrong, has never struggled, has always been in their ivory tower having everything perfectly, right? I've always joked, but it's not really a joke, that, you know, when I choose a mentor, it's like, I need to know you struggled too. Right? If you have never apparently got anything wrong, never found anything hard, you've always just known how to do stuff, then I'm not going to relate to that. Like, I need to know that you've had to figure it out, that you sometimes got things wrong, but there's light at the end of the tunnel because you did find a way. And I think that's the seed of possibility that we all plant as a business owner in our respective fields and niches, that I was once where you are now, or I understand at least what it's like to be in those shoes. But guess what? There is a better way. And that's what I can guide you towards. That's what I can show you how to achieve for yourself. You know, that is the inspirational opportunity that we have in terms of how we're conveying our own messaging and communication around all of that. But also what came up for me when you just said that was just the importance of allowing ourselves to enjoy that journey of exploration and discovery for ourselves, and not be like, oh, I've got to, you know, choose a niche now and I'm going to be wedded for that forever and I'm going to be pigeonholed into the same group of people till kingdom come, because it's just not true. So I think that, I mean, I have worked with a lot of coaches. I spent 4 years teaching the ICF curriculum, as you know, Beverly, that you now teach as well, to hundreds and hundreds of life coaching students here in Australia. And I've seen all and heard all the blocks and all the resistance that is towards choosing a niche. And one of those blocks is, oh my gosh, you know, I don't want to be too focused and narrow down because I want to have, you know, variety and flexibility with who I work with, or I'm multi-passionate. But, you know, here's the thing, like, you don't have to stick with the same thing forever, but having that focus, it honestly gives you freedom. Like, having a focus gives you freedom. It gives you clarity. It gives you a sense of purpose and momentum, and you know what to do next. And without a sense of focus of who you're talking to and what you're offering, that's really hard and really confusing. And I have lost count of how many people I've seen in the online space who are so talented, so passionate, so well-meaning in coaching, but they're trying to sell coaching. And that actually doesn't mean anything in isolation.
So what would you say to that person?
So what I would say to that person is, would you buy coaching? You know, we've got to put ourselves in our buyer's shoes and our audience's shoes. What do we resonate with? What feels like an absolute no-brainer yes for us to sign up to? What do we gravitate towards and want to snap up and sign up to and want to thank the person for giving us that opportunity? It's never down to something that's just really vague and broad, right? Because coaching doesn't mean anything without the specific context. You know, so if I'm saying, oh, I'm a coach, I can help you with coaching, can help you achieve your goals. Great. That sounds good. That sounds nice. But there's not that immediacy of, oh my gosh, tell me more, right? Because it just sounds good. But if I said, you know, if I said to someone who was struggling in their corporate career with, you know, how to get ahead or how to be recognized for a promotion, and I said, hey, I coach corporate professionals to feel confident to put themselves forward for the promotion they know they deserve in a way that feels really authentic, then suddenly you're going to pay attention in a whole different way, right?
Yes, that sounds good. So what's the difference, if there is any, then, between messaging and sales? I'm curious about this now.
I really personally feel that sales is absolutely based upon your messaging. Like, the only reason we make a sale is because our message has resonated with our audience. And without that, it's so hard to sell. And this is why selling often feels really hard work, or we feel like we're in a position of persuading, of convincing, of rationalizing. We're explaining and educating how coaching works. We don't have to do that if we've got our message right in the first place, because actually people care far less about the methodology and the process of how you're going to help them, and far more to do with the result and outcome you can support them to achieve. That's really what they care about, because that's what they're wishing they had right now. But at this moment in time, it feels totally elusive.
Yeah, honestly, like, sales has always been quite easy for me. And it's because I don't, and I that's why I love what you're saying, because I don't focus on sales. I focus on just connecting and communicating. And you talk about communication a lot, Holly.
Yes.
Yeah. I just work on connecting and communicating, you know, my heart's desire with people and communicating to them what I'm offering and how I think it could be of service to them if they so choose to do it. And so I've just found a way now that I share my message or I communicate my message that it feels good for me to communicate that message to people. And then I just trust that if people are going to be ready to receive it, that they will. It's also because I'm speaking to the right person, which you talk about a lot.
Yep.
So when you hear me say all this stuff, what stands out to you?
Firstly, that you're amazing. But really, you've always had such a beautiful, genuine approach, Beverly, like from day dot. It's always been about service. And that is the key with sales. Selling is serving. But unfortunately, there is just so much noise and nonsense in the online space where it's all about these, you know, scarcity tactics, or it's about pressure, it's about pushing, it's if you don't sign now, then you're not really committed, or all this nonsense, you know, and it's the hard sell tactics. And they really put us off. and they make us not want to have anything to do with selling, and they give selling itself a bad rap. But really, selling is the ability to serve your audience with the solutions they are seeking and making it easy for them to access them. And that's what selling should all be about. It's making it easy for the right people to access the support that you are so perfectly gifted at delivering. And that's why, you know, when we are focusing on the relationship and the communication, that is like 99.9% of the sales conversation, because really it's just an invitation. It's an invitation to access the support that they are looking for already, right? So we want to sell to people who have that level of consciousness and awareness that, okay, I'm stuck and I don't think I can figure this out by myself. I need help and support, but also readiness. I'm ready to make changes. I'm ready to do the work. And those two things are absolutely critical. So, you know, targeting ideal clients is not just about, am I speaking to the right people in my demographic? It's talking to the people who are ready. And that's often, you know, a layer deeper that people don't go in their messaging and communication around talking to the people who are actually ready, which is why we can spend hours on tough time on sales calls with people who are never going to buy from us, who maybe just want to pick our brains or vent. But, you know, when we're focusing on the relationship, that is number one, because people buy from people they know, like, and trust, as you no doubt have already heard. But it's so, so true. People will pay more for the people they know, like, and trust. People will, you know, be loyal and buy again from the people they know, like, and trust. And all it really comes down to is us feeling seen, heard, and understood by that person. And they don't even really have to promote an offer if all of those things are in place. You know, a clear offer around how they can support us with the outcomes we're looking for, and a genuine desire to support us to a win-win outcome, even if that means a no at that point in time. Because then that's really us feeling that this person has my best interests at heart. And therein lies the trusted connection. And if we really cannot sell without trust.
Beautiful. So many great points here. I'm curious, like, what's your favorite tip that you give people around messaging?
I think the biggest challenge people have is they make it too complex. So when we talk about messaging, there's a number of different elements, really. But number one, what I call a magnetic intro, aka your elevator pitch. You need to be able to describe what you do and how you do it in a clear, compelling way that makes your ideal audience sit up, take notice, and want to hear more. That's number one. That's like literally one of the most important things to nail in your messaging. How do you describe what you do in a way that your people understand? Because you never want someone being like, oh, yeah, okay, you know, I have no freaking clue what they just said, right? Those polite blank stares that we've all had in our own experience, a bit of a rite of passage that we go through. But, you know, we want people to understand our value, even if they're not our ideal clients. Because the more people that understand what we do, the more people we have out there referring us, talking about us, advocating for us on our behalf, sending people our way. So that's first and foremost. But then messaging overall is really just how you are communicating your value to the world. So that's coming through your content. That's coming through your stories, you know, how you're showing up online and sharing what you know your audience needs to hear most. Because it's only through your content and your messaging that anyone can actually experience you, right? You might be an amazing person with a fabulous personality. You might have a great sense of humor. You might have an incredible story and background. You might have so much value to share, but people can't know that unless they're experiencing it through your content. So messaging is really just how are you sharing your voice in a way that resonates. But the most important thing is that simple trumps smart. And I feel like a lot of people are trying to be way too clever in their messaging. You know, there's too much jargon that the average client doesn't even understand. Like, we get caught up in industry jargon, or, you know, a lot of people don't even know what NLP means. You know, I said the acronym, assuming this audience would, but, you know, I could be wrong on that front. You know, like, Are we talking in the language our clients use? So my number two tips would be simple. So keeping it really, really simple. And secondly, speak their lingo. Are you using the words and phrases that your clients use themselves? Because if not, it's not going to resonate as powerfully as it could. And I can share an example of that if it's helpful.
Yeah, please do.
So, I mean, I had a client as a sales and messaging coach for service-based entrepreneurs. I have clients literally across every niche imaginable. And one of them is a pediatric sleep practitioner. So someone who helps, you know, sleep-deprived parents to have their babies sleep through the night, which is gold. Anyway, so she was running some ads and the communication and the message was, you know, how would you like to use evidence-based information to reduce your baby's night wakings? That was the an original message, right? Said no sleep-deprived parent ever, okay? No sleep-deprived parent is sleeping at night, or not sleeping at night, I should say, lying in bed or holding their baby in the wee hours of the morning saying, gosh, I wish I had evidence-based information to figure out this problem. You know, no one is saying that. I don't even know what it freaking means. Okay. What they're saying is, what do I need to do to help my baby sleep better at night so I can too, without the need for sleep training, right? That's the crux for a lot of parents. I don't want to sleep train my baby. I want to be there. I want to support my child. You know, I want to be hands-on, et cetera, et cetera. I want to be nurturing, loving. So that's like a big block that my client Jade knows. Her audience don't want to do what can feel like grueling or punishing sleep training tactics. And they're too tired to do them half the time as well. So we shifted her messaging to what her clients are actually saying, which is, you know, what if you could reduce your baby's night wakings in just a few weeks without the need for sleep training? The results of that ad literally skyrocketed. Like she added like hundreds of new leads to her list within the space of a few days. Why? Because it's speaking their language. It's the exact same thing that they are thinking, saying to their partner, feeling, wishing, praying, right? And when you can get into that level of detail, then you will always be able to sell. When you get to the crux of what is it my ideal client is actually thinking, saying, feeling, and reflect that back in your messaging, you will always, always resonate.
Incredible. So how do you do this work with others, Holly, or how can people participate in this type of work with you?
Sure. I mean, so if you'd like to connect with me first and foremost on social media, I always love to connect with new people. So please feel free to send me a DM or connect with me. I'm on Instagram at Holly McHugh. And I also run a Facebook group, Empowered Entrepreneurs Connect and Inspire, which is an amazing community. And I'm always in there sharing lots of, you know, tips and resources. I also have, a number of courses that support with really nailing this messaging piece, the niching, the positioning, which are just the key. Because when we get the fundamentals right, we actually don't have to really sell. We have people come on the call already decided they want to work with us. So if you're looking for more kind of hands-on, personalized guidance and support with all of that, I do have a program called Magnetic Selling. It's a 6-month group experience. You get live call access with me and you will work through my 4-pillar framework of magnetic selling, which helps you get the sales foundations in place, i.e. clarifying your ideal audience and what they really want, looking at the pre-sell, which is how to develop and communicate a personal brand that really attracts the right people to you through your content marketing and irresistible offers. And then we go through the sell itself, the art and science of structuring a sales conversation that feels honestly authentic, effortless, and fun. And the follow-up, which is a big piece that most people avoid or miss entirely. And it accounts for 50% of our sales. So that's the structure of the framework. And then you get my hands-on guidance and support to work through all of that so that you can implement it in your own businesses, attract ideal clients, and make effortless sales without paid advertising. So that's kind of the focus of that if anyone's interested as well.
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes. Like your Facebook group is awesome and the work that you're doing is so great. I love that you're focusing on the sales, Richard and I talk about this a lot, like how so many people want to jump to marketing before they actually even consider sales or getting some skills in sales. And I love that you are doing the messaging, the niche, the sales together, because I think it's such a critical and essential part of having a business and growing a business is really knowing the basics around what to do in this area. I would say, 100%. In my perspective, this comes before paying a bunch of money towards marketing. That this is what you're doing. Anything else to say about that?
Oh, it's just a brilliant point, Beverly. I'm literally like, just yes, because it's not negotiable to feel good about selling if you want a successful business. It's not like you can say, oh, I'm just no good at it. No, you need to focus intentionally on this so that you can cultivate a positive relationship with sales. And that starts with getting the foundations in place. Because as I said, when those pieces are clear, it's honestly effortless to sell to the right people. When the value is unclear, the price is always too high, right? And so many people skim over these fundamentals and they rush into the fancy, sexy things like the websites and the logo designs and the branding and, you know, all the stuff that makes them feel like they have a business. But we don't have a business until we know how to communicate what we offer in a way that our ideal clients literally want to bite off our arm to sign up to. And when we've nailed that, we have a successful business, with infinite possibilities. So that is what I'm so passionate about teaching, because when we get the groundwork right, the sales become effortless.
Yeah. And I think that you've really demonstrated today, you know, you've demonstrated clarity. You've demonstrated that passion. You've demonstrated confidence to all of us. And I just want people to really take that in, because that's what I know I want to be hearing from somebody that I'm going to be working with. I want to hear like a good connection. I want to hear some confidence in their own abilities or confidence in who they are. And I'm hearing those things from you right now. And so I think this is just a beautiful lesson for anybody that's listening, is that you want to find your thing that you can connect on, be confident about, and clearly communicate to people. And that's really going to help you be able to share your message and serve people and work with people, since that's all what we're trying to do here. Any other thoughts on that?
It's so true, Beverly. Thank you for saying that. I mean, honestly, confidence is 80% of the sale, and what your people are buying from you is first and foremost confidence and certainty. Right? They need to know that you can genuinely help them and that you are confident in that yourself. No one's going to buy from someone who's not sure, right? And we've got to remember that however we're feeling about it, we're taking that energy into those sales conversations. And that is what others are picking up to, whether consciously or subconsciously. That is a super important point. To really find something that you feel excited about and confident in. And again, then it becomes effortless, because people are magnetized towards that. You know, it's like that infectious energy of, I want what they've got, you know, I want what they're having. And it's so, so true. We're never going to buy from people who don't appear to own their brilliance, as I like to say, right? Yes, so that's first and foremost.
Thank you for saying that. So what would you say is the legacy that you're hoping to leave behind through your work, Holly?
The thing that honestly gets me out of bed in the morning is I just do not want people out there not sharing amazing gifts with the world that others could benefit from simply because they don't know how to articulate the value of them. So my view is that when we share our brilliance wholeheartedly, we make the world a better place, because not only are we improving the lives of the immediate clients we're working with, but we're improving the lives of those around them as well, right? Because they are forever changed for the better in that area of their life, and those around them pick up on that, right? Their energy changes, and so their family and friends benefit too. So little by little, you know, in a really very kind of deep way, we are creating this positive ripple effect in the world when we do that. So my kind of legacy is to help people to quit hiding their brilliance, because the world is waiting and the world needs us. And this for me is part of the whole new paradigm that we're shifting into. And it starts with, you know, heart-centered work and, you know, intentionally sharing our gifts because we were given them for a reason. So my whole legacy is helping more people to share their brilliance.
Thank you so much. It's been such a joy for me to witness you really step into your brilliance, Holly. And
thank you.
I will always support you in sharing your gifts with the world. And it's what I intend to do in my work too, is help people self-actualize so that they can help more people self-actualize. So thank you so much for being here with us today. Thank you for sharing so much wisdom and value with us today. And I'm hoping that anybody listening, if you are struggling to articulate your message or the value of the work that you're doing, that you reach out to Holly in some sort of way, getting connected with her Facebook group or her work. You will not be disappointed. So thanks for being here, Holly. Anything else you'd like to say?
I just want to say a huge thank you, Beverly, for hosting me so beautifully, so graciously. And also thank you for the work that you do in the world as well, because you are a shining light. So thank you so much for having me. And I hope that this has been of value to your people.
There's no doubt that it's been of value to us. And may you and I have many more years of friendship together. Thanks
yes,
for
your
being
turn
here.
To come here.
I know. I'm going to, girl. I will. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
If there's only one thing that you take away from today's episode, it is the need to be fully aligned with what you are offering the world, so that you can confidently speak about it with clarity, with confidence, and with really good energy, because that is ultimately what people are going to connect with. Please remember that I am an affiliate of Holly's, so just making sure that you know that, as I'm an ICF credentialed coach, so I might receive some sort of compensation if you ever participate in anything with Holly. She's got some really great programs that she offers, and if you're feeling called to join in, just reach out to her. Hope you enjoyed today as much as I enjoyed recording this episode. And remember that you can be purposeful and prosperous when you are sharing a loving legacy with the world. Many blessings to you.